Hello, everyone. My name is Doug Woodard, executive coach with Advisor Game Plan. Welcome to the Thriving Sports Podcast, our public podcast available to everyone. We do have two podcasts. Number one is a client-only private podcast called Thriving Coaches. And number two is this public podcast available to everyone. In this public podcast, in each episode, we'll be talking to a successful coach or leader about specific ways they enhance their team's culture and player development, as well as many other valuable topics.
And I'm Brian Willett, founder and CEO of Advisor Game Plan. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to sit back and learn from each of these episodes with these amazing coaches. Thank you for joining us as we dive deeper into these areas that can lift a team from average to good to great.
Hello, everybody. Here with Mike Etzelmiller, present head coach at Millard North. Was assistant there, I believe, for 13 years. Season three, I believe, going into now as a head coach. Played high school ball out at Hastings, where, believe it or not, he was the all-time leading scorer until that record was broken by Connor Creech just a short time ago. Played, ironically, then at Hastings College for Connor's dad, Lance. Mike's dad, that's his dad, Mark, was a longtime high school coach, beloved coach here in Nebraska. Married to a Bellevue West grad, ironically, Katie, and father of three boys, Riker and Tate, both seven, and Cade, now four, I believe.
Yep.
That's some challenging ages there. That's you can want to talk a little bit about the family and maybe then just a little bit about who you're returning from last year and what you're really focusing on this summer.
Yeah, starting with the family. Grew up as in the education family. Dad was a coach, mom was a teacher. So it's kind of all we really know is sports from the academic side. Always was held accountable for, you know, making sure that off the court stuff was done. So learned a lot from dad, how to build relationships with players and coaches. So means a lot to me there. Moving on to now where my wife is, she's been fantastic. As you know, coaching takes a lot of different hours. And my wife, Katie, coming from, kind of different aspect. Her mom was in education, but her dad was in the police force. So dad was always home at night and, kind of just different hours. And it's taken some time to, kind of get that under control. But, she's been amazing and a wonderful supporter. Our boys are now seven, so they're getting into that age where they're starting to get into athletics and sports and the practicing on the weekdays and then the games on the weekends. So we're getting into full swing in the Etzmiller household. But the boys have done great, and they're also wonderful supporters at home and love to come up to practices. And kind of reminds me of probably about 30 years ago. So it's been good.
Back.
Yeah, exactly right. Looking forward to this year. We have three of our top 10 guys back from last year's runner-up team. One of our best is Derek Rawlings. He's he's been an unbelievable player for us for the last 2 years. His freshman year, didn't play as much, but also played on a really talented team that state champions. And then so for him to come back his, sophomore year and step up to the plate and went from probably averaging a point or two to averaging 15, 16 as a sophomore and then had a really good year last year again. Was really concerned to begin the year how he was going to progress, how can you, outdo a season that he had to get to the next year. So he's been great, and we're looking forward to a senior year for him. And then the other two that we have back is Amari Brahman and Major Mosser. So those three are back. But we had a wonderful JV team last year that is ready to go and ready for their turn. And then we also had a couple kids that have decided to transfer over to Millard North, and I see them both making giving some opportunities to take a hold and see what we can do this summer and this off season leading into the year.
really good. And you know, I wasn't really going to talk about this, but I did want to. I was with Coach Cannon on another program just a few days ago, and in the, I guess the point of the program was kind of reflecting back to that time of 2020, culminating in the championship game in 21, which Miller North won. And we were reflecting on that, and in the process of doing that, we talked about this 5-year, you know, 5-year run of what you've been a part of all five of those years. I was fortunate enough to be a part of four of them, where it was Miller North and Bellevue West every year. You have any thoughts on that? Just how maybe you won't think about it as much till maybe you're old like I am, but how rare and special that's been. Just any thoughts you have on that?
Yeah, no, I you know, looking back, we would talk about it quite often, of just the run of, you know, athletes between the two teams, and there were others that were outside of Miller North and Bellevue West. But you look at where some of those guys are at now. It's been a long time since we've seen guys that are, you know, testing waters with the NBA. And you know, we're hopeful that things work out for all of them, whether it's a Fiddler, whether it's a Chucky, you know, Hunter, Saint, you know, Max Merle is gets another year. We're hopeful that he has, you know, continued the success. So, you know, Jaden Johnson has one of his best games of his career in the state tournament in the championship game. So
reminded me.
Yeah, I'm trying not to rub any old wounds, but, yeah, just the amount of talent, and I still remember there was probably like a 4 or 3 minute period in there where it was just back and forth, and great plays over and over. And I still think it was Coach Cannon that decided to call the timeout that kind of put the stop to it. But that was a special time here at Nebraska, and you know, we're hopeful that we can continue and kind of keep pushing that stride, and you know, whether it's Millard North or whether it's Millard West, Millard South, or Bellevue East, wherever it is, we're hopeful that Nebraska is pulling our share of weight.
Yeah, that's just a blessing to have been a part of that. That's your teams have always had such an outstanding and explosive early offense scoring ability. Can you talk about what you focus on and any specifics that you think are critical in establishing an early offensive capability like that? Obviously, besides having really good players,
I think the biggest part of it, what we talk about is getting stops first. You know, a good offensive transition game needs to get stops. So, you know, we pride ourselves hopefully on getting, you know, defensive, whether it's steals, whether it's rebounds. And then the second part is spacing the floor and sprinting up the floor. Spacing and sprinting is the second part of our transition and getting wide. And then I think the third part, like you said, is the personnel, having the ability like a Jason Green or a Derek or a Saint that can get, you know, 8 to 10 defensive rebounds and then ignite that, you know, that transition where you don't have to worry about outletting to a point guard, or getting the ball into your guard's hands. It's you get that rebound and sprint up the floor. We tell our guys, take 2 dribbles, get to half court, reevaluate. You know, do we need to, you know, get ourselves into our, you know, our first actions, or are we still attacking and getting ourselves into spots? The second part of it is having shooters, you know, having guys that are, you know, capable of shooting the guys that we want to shoot the basketball, you know, in a transition pace, because our first goal is to get the ball to the rim. You know, if we can get the ball into the paint and have kick out threes, those are our, you know, second or third favorite shots.
Well, and as you just mentioned, the spacing element of shooting, which has made a critical difference for you guys the last several years. You know, and you mentioned Jaden in that championship game. I believe he was 3 for 3 on threes. But the fact that, you know, that and I think you guys were 7 for 13, if I remember right, in that game. The fact that when you shoot it that well, you had so many other players that can get downhill. If you kind of get out and cover shooters, when you have those kind of playmakers in the middle, that's why, as you mentioned earlier, it is so important to be wide and have that spacing.
Yeah, definitely. We think the most important part for our offense is spacing. You know, if we're too tight, our drive lanes aren't available. Our back cuts, you running into people. So we really try to space the floor. We learned, kind of going down to Nebraska and watching theirs or Creighton's practices when you have an opportunity to check those out. They have 4-point lines where they're really, really deep, and that's not for extra points, but for spacing and staying big and staying wide and not towing the arc. So that, that defender might just be 1 foot closer to their man, which is, in our case, enough space for our guards to either get by their man or cause two to one and then make the smart play.
Well, and that's why it's so critical, whether it's someone like Mosser for you guys or Jackson for Bellevue West, if you can have players that, as you mentioned, are effective 4, 5 or maybe more feet behind the 3-point line, well, they have to be guarded, and if their players are out, they're not in, and that's what, as you're saying, that's what makes you much more dangerous. If you don't score off of your primary or that initial push, do you have secondary actions that are called, or are they dependent maybe on what a point guard does, or do you simply go directly into a motion?
Yeah, we've got probably about 3 or 4 different actions, and that's what we kind of call them. And each action, has 3 different options. And so our goal is to try to be unpredictable as possible. We don't want to continue to run the same thing. We feel like nowadays, with the amount of scouting and huddle, teams, if they wish, would have the opportunity to kind of scout that out and know where everybody's going. So what we've kind of done is one action, if you pass here and we're in this action, say open is what we call it, we're going to screen, and that guy that's getting screened has 3 options. He can do one of different things, and then the second action relies on what the first action happens. So we've kind of gone to this. I give a lot of credit to Coach Mosser and Coach Moyer. They've kind of ran with it, and Coach Mosser is a guy that you send him one idea and you're going to get about 7 back. I give a lot of credit to them, but that's one thing on an offensive end is we're trying to be the least amount of predictable as possible, and try to let the defense play their game, show their hand, and then we're going to make a read on that, and then that read relies on another one. And as the year goes on, we can get 1 to 2 actions. At the end of the year, there's some that we can hopefully get into about 3 actions. So it might be a down screen into a ball screen into different kind of lifts and down screens. So it just kind of bounces back and forth. And again, credit to our kids to gluing in and listening, because we try to show some freshmen the other day, and they kind of looked at us like we were crazy. So it takes some time, and we do a lot of shooting drills with it just to try to get our guys accustomed to it.
One thing that was so difficult to guard and watching that 21 game again the other day with Tim, twice in that late stages of that game, you guys had a good push and the ball went inside to Jason, and there was a double that came, and so you had 2 players on the backside, and the top player, I think it was one time it was Hunter and one time it might have been Saint, but they did what we call a 45 cut right to the front of the rim, which puts that, because now you have 1 defender left on the backside to guard those 2 guys, rather than just keeping 2 guys out. You guys were really good and became very good at making cuts like that. We call it, I don't know if you have another name for it, but we call it a 45 cut from the backside. But actions like that aren't necessarily called or scripted are very difficult to guard.
Right. Yep. That's what we call them are A cuts, B cuts, or C cuts. The A cut would be from the top of the key straight down. The B cut is the 45 cut that you talked about. Some of them, kids like names, so sometimes we'll call that the LeBron cut because LeBron gets it and that thing's going to be pounded through the rim as hard as he could. And then the last one is the C cut on the baseline. you know, the C cut is one of the things that I think of Bellevue West. I think of Chucky and Frankie making that cut where Chucky drives it to the middle and Frankie's on that corner spot and he's always cut. And I felt like that was one that you guys did extremely well. You know, but those are the cuts, and we have shooting drills and driving drills where, you know, you make those drives and you get yourself on 2 feet, play around the rim, and then you get a cut. And we have specific, if they drive to the middle, then it's going to be a C cut. If you drive to the baseline, then it's usually a B cut. So, yeah, those are all drills that we do, and you just hope that all the drills that you do and take the time to, and I hope that they pay off in the games. And that was a situation that it was.
Yeah, I wish they hadn't listened as well. That's it. At Thriving Coaches University, or we define initiative as having the drive to think independently and take action for the betterment of the team. I've really been impressed by how quickly you seem to have cultivated this trait in your team. How are you able and how can you promote player initiative while at the same time maintaining your vision for where the team, in your view, needs to go?
Yeah, that's the part of coaching that it can be really difficult. I remember at the beginning of the year last year, we had six seniors that were all excellent seniors, whether they were the 10th man or they were the starting point guard, didn't matter. And we said that at the beginning, this is going to be a battle where there's any one of these guys could play. And, you know, we needed to find, you know, player number 5, 6, 7, 8, wherever it might be. And, you know, playing time and points can tear a team apart if you're not careful with it. So, you know, this group of seniors and even the last group of seniors was fantastic. You know, we have a saying that we say before every game, and I learned this from Coach Baugh back in a long time ago, was we would say the number of players that were on the bench, so it's 12, and then the number of minutes for 32. So it was 12 for 32, and we always say that. Anytime that you can make, you know, credits to kids that, you know, might not get the shine, you know, the ink on Saturday morning or Sunday morning, that we need to make sure that we recognize those players. And then at the same time, recognize the players that maybe are getting the shine for the things that, you know, that they need to do, like diving on loose balls and momentum plays, taking a charge, you know, so that they see that those guys that are, you know, maybe getting all the ink are also doing all the things that are necessary. You know, so that's one of the toughest parts, I think, of coaching is making sure that you maintain a positive, you know, relationship with all the kids. You know, keeping contact, talking to them during the day. I think it's very important to be present all times.
Well, Atz, I obviously think that you've done just an outstanding. I know Tim just talks about what a tremendous assistant and individual you were. And much the same for me with Coach Klein, who's now taken over at Bellevue West, and as well as the other assistants I had, and I'm sure Tim would verbalize the same at Millard North as well. But what tremendous assistants you guys were, and we're both just as pleased as can be to see you each now with your own program, and you're putting your own stamp on the program. Millard North didn't, you know, just throw everything out, and nor did Bellevue West, but each of you are putting your own particular stamp, as you should, on the program. And I can say Millard North's in great hands, and it was a joy to compete against you. Those games were classics and a lot of fun, and wish you nothing but the best coming into next season.
All right, I appreciate it. Yeah, I really want to thank Tim, Tim, and even, you know, Coach Baugh. I learned a lot from Fred Petito. There's a lot of great mentors, and I know this TCU is phenomenal for coaches. It's great to listen to, so I really enjoy being part of it and being asked to be part of it. You know, I credit a lot of my assistants for the things that they do and you know, the success that we've had. So, again, I thank you and look forward to chatting more.
And awesome, and we'll see you next year, and I'll hopefully be a little more relaxed than you will when we're at games.
All right, I appreciate it.
We have free resources available on advisorgameplan.com. If you would like to gain access to our full version of client resources, please contact us today on advisorgameplan.com to explore becoming a client. Also, subscribe today to Thriving Sports and stay up to date with future episodes and more interviews with more coaches. Together, let's be thriving coaches that put the player first in all situations. See ya!